sixth chapter, book of Hebrews, and I'm going to read verse number 1. It says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." In this verse of scripture, I want you to notice the phrase here, "let us go on unto perfection." This morning I want to talk about how to maintain spiritual growth, how to continue to grow in your Christian life. One of the most terrible things would be when we would begin to stagnate. And that's always a danger. Let me say to you, it's a danger to get to a certain level in our Christian life and decide that that's where I'm going to live for the rest of my life. We just kind of become satisfied. And that is something God never wants us to do. There isn't a person in this room this morning that does not need to grow in Christ. We need to grow. We need to learn clear up until the last day of our life. We need to go forward because we've got a lot to learn. Amen. I mean, we haven't arrived. Amen. So it's a kind of a dangerous thing to get to the place where we just kind of become satisfied, kind of level off. And we just kind of think that's where we're going to be, for the rest of our life. But God tells us to, in verse 1 there, let us go on to perfection. Let us go on. Don't let us stop. Don't let us quit. Always going on, always growing and learning about the Lord. And that's a, like I say, that's a danger. What I'm going to do is this morning, I want to kind of look at three levels of the Christian life. We start off with that level of the babe in Christ. We're born again. We're just new, and we have become a Christian. And the Word of God refers to us as a babe in Christ. In fact, I want you to turn with me over to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. Third chapter, 1 Corinthians. I want you to listen to what Paul said to the Corinthians. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" Here Paul is talking to the Corinthians, and he refers to them as babes in Christ. He talks about their carnality. He said, "I fed you with milk," and he says, "and I wanted to feed you with meat," but he said, "I couldn't. You're not able to take it." So what he's basically saying to us is, and there's no doubt about every single one of us, when we first become a Christian, we certainly are a babe in Christ. As far as we know, we're going to have a little baby coming here who's only a few days old this morning. And that baby's got a lot to learn, a lot of growing to do, just, you know, completely dependent upon mama. And daddy is completely dependent upon them. They can't do anything hardly for themselves except cry and do things like that. They can do that. But they can't do much for themselves, and they got to be fed and taken care of. God says that's what we are when we're first saved. We're just like babes in Christ. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That's what everybody was when they got saved. They become a baby in Christ, you see. So God doesn't want us, though. He doesn't want us to stay there. He doesn't ever, you know, if we had a little child and that little baby, you know, came into our life and would not grow, you know, would not eat properly, would not grow, just stayed a little baby, we would be getting at every doctor and every specialist in the country if we had to find out what was the matter with that little baby. Well, God doesn't want us as a child of God to remain a baby. Amen? No, you see, that's abnormal. Now, I know in many places today it's considered normal just not to grow in Christ, but that's not normal. That's abnormal. We're supposed to grow in the Lord. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these, but I want to share something with you. There's some things when a person gets saved, they ought to do immediately. Now, we've talked about baptism a lot of times. But boy, you ought to get baptized as soon as you get saved. You just get saved, you ought to get baptized. Amen? See, those things help you in being obedient unto God. That's the first step of obedience unto the Lord. And then secondly, you ought to join a good independent fundamental Baptist church. Amen? You ought to get in a church, you see, a good church. Because I don't know how much you understand it, but because sometimes I don't think we think about it. But I want to tell you something. Church is so important to every single one of us. It's an important thing to do is to join a church, get into the family of God, and join the church. You see, as soon as a person gets saved, baptized, they ought to join the church. You see, that's what God done back in the book of Acts. He added unto the church daily such as were saved, and they ought to join a church. People who don't join a church is cruising for trouble. You'll watch them down the road. You'll see them. They'll be off here somewhere, off there somewhere, jumping around, scattered around here and there, not doing right. They need to get into a good fundamental Baptist church, independent fundamental Baptist church, and grow with that church. Amen? You ought to do that, you see. That's important. Not only that, you ought to be faithful to every single service of that church. Now, Pastor Ross has been preaching this for 32 years. You just ought to be at every service. Amen. You just be faithful. Every single service, you be faithful to your church. Your church. Not somebody else's church. Your church. The church you join, that's where you ought to be faithful. Is there every time the doors open? Because that's important. Let me just say something to you. It's not just for you. See, we are living in a day of me, me, me stuff. It's me. No, it isn't us. It's the other people around us. We learn to live for others. Amen. And it's important that we be there no matter, just like Mrs. King said this morning. She said, I'm here. Don't feel good. Don't feel like being here, but I'm here. That's what we do. We're just here. Why? So these little boys and girls running around here will look and see you here faithfully so that they'll learn how to be faithful. Now, Brother Ross, you're going to say, Brother Ross, there's sometimes it's impossible. It is sometimes. There's people get sick. Amen. I mean, people get sick. There's things that happen. They can't come. I know that. But I'm talking about y'all be here. Amen. Every single service of your church, be loyal to your church. Amen. See, it's not just you. It's not for you. It is for you. But it's for everybody around you. Understand? See, that's important. That's how you grow in the Lord, you see. And so you want to do that. Now, I'm not going to spend time on this. I preached this. We've been talking about treasures and things like that. But a young Christian getting saved needs to learn to tithe immediately. They need to learn how to tithe and give. Amen? We'll talk about that in a minute. But they need to do that. That's one of the things they need to learn as soon as they get saved and get baptized, join a church. They need to learn to tithe and start tithing. You see, God bless us, you see, through that. And then also, of course, we know that the basic things, and what we're talking about is basic things. Talking about reading your Bible, that's basic. As a young Christian, you see, praying, you learn to pray. Why? Because that's just basic Christianity. You learn to be a witness. You learn to go out and tell people about Christ and let that become a part of your life as you go throughout the day. You're telling people about Jesus. You hand them a tract. You do these things. You learn how to witness for Christ, you see. That's basic Christianity. That's not the big deal. That's basic. You see? And as a young Christian, they get saved, they need to learn to do that. Now, you want to know why? So you won't be a carnal Christian. See, if you fail to do these things, you're going to be carnal. See, God don't want you to be a carnal Christian. He wants you to be a spiritual Christian. He wants you to learn how to live for God and do right. The only way you're going to do that is get out of this baby stage, learn during this baby stage, and grow up, you see, grow on up to the next level. I call the next level the childhood stage. We're a baby, and then we get into the childhood stage. And what God begins to teach us then is more things, not just the basic little things of Christianity in your childhood stage, but He begins to teach you to fear God. That's one of the things every Christian needs to learn, is to have a real reverence, fear for God Almighty. You do it. You see, that changes from the stage, and a lot of times this happens when we're a babe in Christ. We'll look around. We'll say, "Well, I need to go to church, you know, and I'm saved, and I want everybody to, you know I'm a Christian, and so I kind of go to church and all this." But you get into the next stage of your Christianity, you don't just go because of somebody else. You go because you know it's right. No, you don't. There's no questions. You don't, you know, and I told you this a lot of times. Some of you may have never heard it, but I told you this a lot of times. Right after we got saved, I set my family down. I got saved, understood what we're supposed to do, and I set my family down, and I said, I don't want to ever hear one of you children ever to say, "Are we going to church?" I don't want to ever hear it. And they didn't. They never asked. I said, "We're going to church." Don't ever say, "Are we going to church today?" "No, I don't want to hear that." Foolish. No, you just go. Why? Because it's right to go. See, and you get into that stage, you don't have to have somebody prodding you. You see, the preacher don't have to go out each week and knock on somebody's door and say, "Boy, I wish you'd been in church last week. We missed you. I wish you was here." I don't have to do that because they're there. See, they've grown past that. If they feel a little rough, they come to church. Rena's sitting back there with oxygen on him. You know why he's here? Because he wants to be here. He knows what God's done for him. He's just here. Cora's right alongside him with her helper on a walker thing. They've had a couple of weeks. They've had it rough. Where are they at? They're here. Understand? See, that's what happens when you fall in love with God. You do it because it's right to do it. So you don't need any other reason except that it's just the right thing to do. You're not doing it for other people. You're doing it because you know it's just a right thing to do. So that's the growing in Christ. You're getting past that baby stage there where sometimes you come, you miss, you do this or that, and sometimes you're going just for other people and all this. No, you get to that place where, you know what, I'm going to be there. Why? Because that's where God wants me. I've asked a lot of people. I've asked them this one question. They say, you know, they don't go to church or they haven't been in church. And I say, "I want to ask you a question. Tell me the truth. If you would ask Jesus Christ where he would want you to be this next Sunday, where would he want you to be?" I've never had one of them tell me that he wouldn't want him in church. Never had one. They say, "Well, yeah, he'd want me in church." Well, sure he would. That's why we go. Because it's right to do it. Amen. We're growing in the Lord, you see. So it's important that we grow in the Lord. See, what happens is we begin to obey God because it's our duty to obey God. Listen to what he says in Ecclesiastes 12 chapter. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." See, you don't need a reason. You just say, it's the duty of man to do it, to be in church, to do right, to live right, you see. It's just the whole duty of man to do it, see, for God, you see. So we don't need a reason there. See, that's where maturity begins to come into our life, and we do it because it's right to do it, you see. Not only that, let me tell you how to maintain and begin to grow in the Lord and continue that growth. Get involved in the church. Get involved in being a blessing and the outreach ministry of the church. Listen to me. This is such a misnomer. People will say, "Well, I don't have a specific job." Yes, you do. Get people to church. Get out there and witness. Tell people about the Lord. You do have a specific job. You get interested in your church, and I'll guarantee you get to talking to people about your church and telling them and bragging on the church and bragging on Jesus and all of those things. I'll guarantee you'll feel better about your church because you're involved in it. And that's what maturity does. Maturity causes you to get involved in the ministry and the work of God. That's what maturity does, see. That's how we grow. We get involved in it. I told them last week, Brother Renus, you and Cora, about you talking to this lady there in the church. You know, possibility she may come next Sunday. You know, I was telling them. I said, that's biblical Christianity. That is. Wherever you go, you brag on Jesus.
You brag on your church. Say, look, come to my church. We want you here. That's what you do. See, that's growth. That's maturity, you see. And we need to be mature in the Lord. So you need to get involved with bringing people to Christ. Some way, get involved in that ministry of bringing people to Christ. And, of course, other things around the church that can be done. So important you stay involved. You get involved in something and you love that which you're involved in. You care about it. You see, if you standoffish, you don't care about it. No. You standoffish, you're going to do your own thing. You're not going to get involved in the ministry of the church. You don't care a thing about it. Why? And pretty soon it doesn't matter to you. Why? Because you're not involved in it. You don't have any love for it. But you get involved in it, you'll have love for it. Amen. You'll grow, you see. Well, that's maturity in Christ. Let me tell you also something else to help you to grow. Learn to be around those people who have been doing it for a lengthy time and learn from them. Learn from good, solid Christians that are doing the work. Learn from them. Don't try to learn from those who are not doing it. Learn from those who are doing it. And I say to you, have some counselors. And when I say that, go to some of these people and talk to them. If they're raising a family, doing a good job at raising a family, go talk to them. If they're faithful in church and you're not, go talk to them. Let them help you understand you do it for God, you see. The other day, I talked to Brother Jack about it and got a little bit of input from him about David and I was going to go down and pick up a calf each down at Dinkies. You know where Dinkies is? You all heard of Dinkies? Well, we was going to go down there and pick us up a couple calves, pick up a calf apiece. And I talked to Brother Jack and he told me what he'd paid for his calf, so I had a pretty good idea of money, what it would cost per pound to buy one, and he helped me in that. But let me tell you something. I got down there to Dinkies, and there was all kinds. There was all calves all over the place, you know. And so I looked around. And I got to watching this one man. He was talking very knowledgeable. He was just talking to some other guys there, and I got a chance. I got him aside. Just a big old guy, big old burly guy. And I said, "Do you do a lot of cattle? Do you buy cattle?" "Oh yeah, buy cattle, sell cattle all the time." I said, "You're the guy I want to talk to. I want your counsel." I didn't say, "I want your counsel," but I said, "I want to talk to you. You mind talking?" "Oh, no," he said, "I'll talk to you." We went around and looked at all these calves. You're kind of standing up on a platform. You're looking down on them. And we looked at all of them down through there, and I said, "Now, if you was buying, tell me what you would buy." And he pointed out, I think he pointed out about six of them there. And six different calves. Two of them was in a lot there that was a bigger calves, and they'd been quite a bit more money than I wanted to pay for it. But there's some of the smaller calves, and he pointed me out some there. And that's the ones we got. Yeah, that's right. I'm just telling you. You know, there's ways to get counsel. I'm no cattle man. I mean, I goof around with them and fool around with them, but I'm no cattleman. I don't know cattle. He deals with them every day. So I got counsel. You understand what I'm talking about? You need counsel. There's areas in your, if you're having trouble, and of course I know most of you in here has already got your kids raised. I know that. Not all of you, but some of you do. But if you're having counsel and raising, or having trouble in raising your children, why don't you go to somebody who's doing it right? Seek counsel. Don't be afraid to do that. Don't be too proud. Go talk to them. Say, what should I do here? I'm having trouble in this area. What should I do? Get counsel. Understand what I'm saying? Boy, that'll help you grow as a Christian. You understand? See, your pastor's always willing to help you. Always willing to help you. But there's other people in the church that, you know, you see them doing certain things and they're doing it right and they're being faithful. Go talk to them. Amen? And when they do, give them scriptural counsel. Give them proper counsel. Amen? Not some of this foolishness, not your idea or my idea, but God's idea. What is right? Amen? That'll help you grow. Amen? You know, I think one of the shames that we have, and I really do, is there's the principle in the Bible, and you've heard me say it before, but I still believe it. Principle in the Bible, because it's in the Bible, I believe it, that we're to let the older ladies teach the younger ladies. And what we got in today's world is two problems. The older ladies many times won't teach them or don't know what to teach them. Or secondly, the younger ladies won't listen to anybody. They're too proud. Well, I ain't going to go to so-and-so and ask them anything. Well, that's what the Bible says you're to do. The older ladies are supposed to give counsel, godly counsel, to the young ones. Amen? We need that. Oh, we need that. I believe the same thing with the men. We need older men that'll just stand up and help some of these young men that's coming up in life and teach them some things. But you know what a lot of times? Young men don't want to hear. They've got it all figured out. They're going to make all their own mistakes. Amen? Boy, that's silly. Get some counsel. You see, for some of these men that's manly and doing right in their life and with their family, get some counsel from them. Do the same thing with the ladies. Understand what I'm saying? That'll help you grow as a Christian. You see, that'll get you into that next stage, you see, of the Christian life, you see. And don't be so proud that you can't go and ask and seek counsel, godly counsel, you see, from people, you see. All right, another thing is learn to give. I know I've been talking about this some lately, but listen to me. Learn to give because God tells you to give. Tithing is something you owe. You owe it. You oughtn't have to be taught that. You owe tithing. Amen. But learn to give on top of that. Let God use you and you'll grow in your giving as God speaks to your heart and teaches you how to give and when to give. You see, that's a growth when you'll turn loose of those things that are not yours anyway. They belong to God. And you're just managing it for him. And he speaks to your heart and tells you to do this or tells you to do that. I'm just saying, learn to give. I want to tell you something. I do most of my giving through my church. I'm going to explain some things to you. Through my church, I have tithes and offerings I put in every week. I also give during a Sunday school. May not be a whole lot, but I want to give something. I always give on Wednesday night, whether it's a building fund or whether it's a mission fund. I always give. I do that because God wants me to. That's why I give. Okay? Learn to give. You see, you'll never outgive God. Folks, I can't convince people this, but you can't outgive him. You can't outgive him. It's an impossibility. See, but outside of that, most of my giving is done through the church. But outside of that, who I try to give to is the poor. I always got some kind of little project that I'm doing for the poor. Always do that. I keep that as one of the things I do because God has so much to say about giving to the poor. And I want to be in on it. I know some of the money of the church goes and some of the things of the church goes towards some of the poor. But I want to be on it. I want to always be ready to give to the poor. And God's always opening up doors of opportunity for me. Okay? Right now, I've got a project I've been doing for quite some time. I'm paying lunch for a child that's in school. He's in school and don't have any money. The family don't have any money. I pay that every week for him, $9 a week. I pay that for that child. I'm not telling you that to brag on it. I'm trying to tell you if you look for opportunities, God will open up the opportunities for you. Learn to give. You see, he's not in this school. He's not in this church. He's somewhere else. And I knew the situation, and I've been doing that for a long time. He don't get any lunch. He won't have any lunch at school if he doesn't. He'll bring something from home, but he won't have it. They don't have the money. So I've been doing that. Now, why do you do that? Well, because God told me to. He didn't tell you to do that. He told me to do that. Okay? I'm just trying to explain to you. Learn to give. Learn to have a heart open, willing to give. See? And God will open up doors for you. You see? That's maturity. That's growing in the Lord, you see. Amen? Folks, do your giving while you're living. So you'll know where it's going. Amen? Do your giving while you're living. Amen? Just trying to help you. Learn to give. And you'll grow in the Lord. And then you get to that, what we call the adult stage. We're going to go over to 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Look what he says in the 13th chapter, the 11th verse. Finally, brethren, now this is the Apostle Paul leaving this church, the Corinthians, probably for the last time that he's going to see them. He's given them some final instructions, okay? And he says, finally, brethren, verse 11, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Now, there's a lot of things he says here to them and how to be perfect, but what he's saying is go on to perfection. Don't ever stop go moving forward to perfection. Don't ever be satisfied with where you and I am. Don't ever be satisfied. Don't level off. Don't stagnate. Don't quit growing. Keep on going on. Go on to perfection. That's what he's saying. Go on to the adult stage of your life, you see. And so what he's doing here, he's given as a people, he's pushing them, he's encouraging them. Please don't stop where you are. I would say that as a pastor today. Please don't stop where you're at in your Christian life. Please don't. Move on to perfection. Keep going on. Let God use you more than he's ever used you before. Don't quit. Amen. You haven't arrived. Neither have I. Keep going on to perfection, you see. And the way you do that, and I'm just going to read you this verse of Scripture. It's found in Romans, the 12th chapter. You learn to live for others. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. The way you go on to perfection is you live for others. Others are more important than yourself. And you learn to do that in your life. There's many of you here that's been in ministries in this church, and you've gave yourself for others. You've done that over the years. You've brought boys and girls to Sunday school. You've just done all kinds of things. You've worked in ministries in this church, and you've served them. Why? Because you're living for others. You're doing for others. And that's what the adult stage of Christianity is. You learn to instead of living for self, you learn for others. You live for others. Amen? So let God teach you how to live for others. Don't ever quit, you see. And you know what that is? That becomes a sacrificial life. You learn to live sacrificially. You get your mind off self and you get it on others. Boy, you'd be surprised what a relief that is to get your mind off self. Have your mind on self is discouraging. It's depressing. But when you're so busy living for others and doing for others and thinking about others and what can I do here and what can I do there, I'm going to tell you, you ain't got that much time. You see, to live, worry about self, you see. It's kind of like that lady, you know, went to her pastor and she said, I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. So there's no doubt about it. I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. And I said, I don't know what to do about it. I'm going to have it. He said, well, let me suggest some things. He said, okay, what is that? And he started giving her a lot of projects. He sent her out to the nursing home, to visit the nursing home. And he said, now you go out and you visit your neighbors this week. And he gave her some people over here that was poor. And he said, now I want you to go over there and I want you to see those folks, see what they need. And I want you to bake them some cookies and take them over to them. And I want you to do this and I want you to do that. And so he seen her in about a week or two. And he said, have you ever had that nervous breakdown? She said, I don't have time to have a nervous breakdown. I'm too busy. The reason people have nervous breakdowns is because they're just so, it's self. They are so worried about self instead of getting involved in others. See, it's living for others. That's the Christian, that's the adult stage of the Christian life, you see. And we need to learn to do for others, you see. Now, another thing, as we said, I think we mentioned this earlier, but just obey God because it's commanded you to do so. The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know the best thing to do if you really want to prove you love Jesus is just keep his commandments. You do what he says to do on a regular basis. You do what Jesus would do. Amen. That shows the love that you have for the Lord. And he said, if you love him, that's what you'll do, you see. Now let's go over to John, the 15th chapter of the book of John. The desire of the Lord, and of course I'm going to just read a few verses here. He says in verse number 4, he says, "Abide in me and I in you, and as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." That's that's 15th chapter, verse 4. Verse 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches, and he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If we abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." Now I've read that, it's talking about the fruit. God wants us to bear fruit. But I want you to listen to verse number 16. And he says this, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." There's people give their life to bus ministry and are involved in it. Maxine Moore's involved in it because she's doing the treats for the buses. There's all little things that we can do for the buses. We're all involved in the bus ministry, because we're putting our resources of the church into the bus ministry. We buy buses, we buy insurance, all of that stuff is high. We buy gas. You know, it's amazing what kind of gas we put out. The insurance bill comes, and I'm going to tell you what, it's shocking sometimes for the insurance bill. Not just for the buses, but for the whole church. Everything is shocking what we pay out for insurance. But what I'm saying to you is, what you've got to understand is that fruit that we're getting, it's fruit that remains. You know, I know we don't get all the bus kids. I know some of them go out into the world. I know, but I want to tell you, there's fruit that remains. We've got some of them in Bible college. Some of them getting ready to preach, bus kids. That's fruit that remains. We don't want just fruit, but God said, "Give me fruit that remains." Okay? So when you raise your family, you're raising them in such a way that they'll glorify and honor the Lord. That's fruit that remains. It's there. Amen. I'm just trying to help you folks. Get into that adult stage and look for fruit that will remain. It's not just our kids. It's our Christian life. It's our testimony to this church. It's all of those things. It's less giving to get missionaries on the field. Why? So there'll be fruit that remains. Amen. See, God wants fruit that remains, not just for a little while, but it continues on down. Just keeps on, you see, producing, you see. So that gets into the adult stage when we worry more about that and the fruit that remains and what we're doing for God matters more than self. We begin to learn to live for others and do it for others and do it for God, you see, because he's instructed us to do so. Over in Psalms, the 42nd chapter of the book of Psalms. Chapter of the book of Psalms. I want you to just listen to the psalmist here in verse number 1 and verse number 2 also. He says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" What I want to encourage you to do as a child of God, as a mature Christian, I want your heart to pant after God. I want him to be the love of your life. When you do something, whatever it is, I want you to do it because you love him. I want you to, I guess I could say, chase after God. Just on a daily basis, just loving. Of course, pray to Him, read his Word and all those things. But I mean, just have a desire to, in your life, to just check in every morning and say, God, I'm here. What do you want of me today? I want to do your will. I want to be what you want me to be. You see, that's doing what he done. The psalmist said he thirsted after God. His heart panteth after God. Let that be your life. Amen. Let that be more than important than yourself. What God wants. And what I've tried to do is try to just give you some basic stages. We get into the babyhood. We ought not to remain there. We get into the childhood stage. We ought not to remain there. We ought to go on into the adult stage of the Christian life. Amen. And remain there and never be satisfied with where we are. Don't ever sit back and say, I'm satisfied where I'm at. He can't do that. We'll never, ever obtain that which God wants us to attain if we get satisfied at a certain level of our Christian life. Amen. Always grow. Always learn. Always be willing to step up and do the next thing for God, you see. Always do that. And oh my, what a blessing it'll be. One of these days when you stand before God, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Won't that be good? Amen. Okay. We saw Wayne Allheiser yesterday, and Wayne again is in very terrible pain. I mean terrible pain, and he is looking into the possibility of going to a doctor down in Louisville. It's the doctor that Clarence Sexton operated on his back. He's talking about going down there. They're trying to contact him. They're looking into the possibility of going and meeting with him. We need to pray for Wayne. He is in constant pain, constant. And it's not easy, okay? So will you please pray for him and pray for the open door here concerning the possibility of this doctor down here. You know, I don't know what's right. I don't know all those things, but God does. And God can open the right doors for Wayne. He needs something, okay? He needs help. Can imagine living in that terrible pain all the time. Okay? I'm saying we need to pray for our brother in Christ. Amen. Okay, Tim and Lori Burcham, I don't know where they are today. Does anybody? Oh, they're back there. Okay. All right. And Jack and Carolyn Fry, I don't know whether they've come in or not. But anyway, let's pray for them. Brother Denny, is he okay? Oh, he had to take care of him. Okay, thank you, Sister Lisa. And who was it that I was thinking here we ought to pray for? Oh, Cindy Davis. Cindy has went... Huh?
I didn't get a hold of her, but I'll try again.
That's all right. I saw her yesterday, and she went back to work.
Oh.
And that's the problem. They work her every Sunday. So she's going to try to get here on Sunday nights. You know, that's the old devil. Old Cindy was doing pretty good trying to, but now she had to go. She went back to work because of her illness. Now she's off on, working every Sunday. You know, he knows how to do that. But we need to pray for that family, okay? Pray for her. And just ask God to do miracles. Amen. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for these folk we've mentioned. And we do ask you, God, to help them. Please, Lord, just meet the need of each of their lives. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.